Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome. Thanks for joining me and Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Sherry Keffer. And if you want, I think if you're hearing this or watching this, you could be seeing it live on YouTube if you are. When this show airs on radio, we're going to do another live show right after this, and you could join that, 1-800-229-3000. But we're on the New Life Live YouTube channel. We'd love for you to join us there. And thank you, Dr. Keffer and Dr. Jill Hubbard, for joining me here today. How are you guys doing?
Good. It's fun being with you today,
yes.
Jill. Not that I'm, you know.
But I know, because we don't get to be on as often.
So this is a couple of times recently.
I know. It's good.
It's good. And Steve, as always, we love being with you.
I don't think that's true. I mean, you know, I think it was a little afterthought.
Let's throw Steve a bone.
Let's don't leave him out. But anyway, I'm happy to be with you, and I'm going to do something we rarely do. Right now, go right to the calls. Tammy from Baltimore, Maryland is listening on WAVA, and we're going to go right to her. Hi, Tammy. How are you today?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you so much for taking my call. I truly appreciate it, and I hope you guys can help. I have been taking clonazepam and Ambien. I don't trust my doctor. I've had bad experiences with doctors, and I'm physically dependent, not addicted, to the clonazepam, and he doesn't know how to take me down, and now I'm in withdrawal. I just don't know what to do. I am sensitive to light, vomiting, nausea. I've had a couple of seizures. I'm challenged finding. I don't know. Do I go to a psychiatrist, a therapist? It all started with insomnia.
Okay, so here's the key right here. Whenever you start with "I don't trust my doctor," then we have to find somebody that you trust. And when it comes to medications like these, you would certainly want to go to a psychiatrist whose specialty is how do these medications impact the brain. And so that, you know, right off the bat there, I'll let Jill and Sherry get into some other things, but right there is you need, let us help you. Maybe we can find you a Christian psychiatrist in the WAVA area there.
Well, and I just want to reemphasize that, Steve, because so often people, you know, everybody's cost conscious. So you go to your regular doctor and you get on psychotropic medications, but they are really, they're more generalists or their area of specialty. And you need a specialist, especially when there are complications. And so at the very least, a second opinion with a psychiatrist who can help you get off and detox. And you may have to go someplace and detox off of these.
And you know, I don't know about you, Jill, but I've seen clients, and as a therapist, a psychiatrist would manage that, but I've seen them titrate down, and it's actually called titration.
Yes.
It's slow. It's a slow,
it's really slow, steady process,
especially with the medications you're on. Because if you go cold turkey, don't want to frighten you, but I guess I want to frighten you. You can actually set yourself up to have seizures and things which might land you in an emergency room. So today, instead of being in an emergency room, call. There's lots of psychiatrists in the area, and like Steve said, we can help you get hooked up with ones that we may know. And you can get off of these. I've had a lot of success with clients, but they have to be with someone they trust,
right,
and that someone can that can titrate them very down, very slowly, so that your brain can adjust.
There are general practitioners that absolutely know what they're doing, and there are others that don't. They're still prescribing old medications, and there are some other things available.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I really feel for her. I mean,
scary.
Well, you have these issues anyway, and I would just say this. I'm not a medical doctor, but I have heard that using Ambien might be a last resort. There are a lot of people that have had a lot of side effects from that.
Or short-term use.
And short-term.
Not long-term use.
Right,
because
right.
we know a lot of meds over time sometimes turn on you and do the very thing they were meant to prevent.
Paradoxical effect. All right, let's go to Paul, Washington, D.C., listens on Sirius XM. Paul, how are you today, and how might we be able to help? There's Paul.
Well, within 3 years, I've been remarried with to my wife. We both have been divorced before, and we ended up moving into a home with the remains of my parents' furniture and things, and I still had my son with me, and of course that made it a little bit on the tense side, and he turned out to be not very friendly to my wife. And
how old is he?
With all of this, he's in his 30s and has since moved out. We've asked him to leave at one point, and she likes things very neat, and I understand that. And she came from a very neat home, and she came in and started cleaning things up, and none of us were particularly helpful to her, and which made me feel bad, but I didn't know what to do with all of the things that we had. I had basically three sets of furniture there from my previous divorce, my parents' house, and then, of course, whatever she had when she moved in. So I felt really bad that I kind of just let her do the cleanup, and when she kept asking for help, and I didn't know what to do with the things, which is not a real good excuse, but I figured at some point we'd end up moving to another place, which was something that we had picked out, which ultimately we did do. But she's continued to feel like she's been neglected and unloved, and I can understand why, but I don't know how to make it up to her at this point. She matters to me. I love her, and I think she just can't forget that I didn't help her, and I'm just at a loss of how to fix something that's, I don't know, almost unfixable, I guess.
Okay, so what have you done to try to make it up to her?
Well, I try to do things. I mean, we moved into another place, which was a fixer-upper, and I've done a lot of the repairs and all of that, and I've tried to keep up my end of it and more at this point.
Okay, words matter. Words really do matter in addition to deeds. What have you said to her that might help her see that you're sincere about all of this?
I've told her I was very sorry and that I really didn't know what to do. She calls me a hoarder. I ended up with a lot of things from different families that I've tried to get rid of, and then it takes time rather than just throw things out, and I've donated a lot of things to charities and so forth, but we still have a lot of stuff. I came from a very large home, which is from my first marriage, and this house, any of the houses we've come into since then have been maybe half that size, you know, and we've got more and more things. So, trying to pare down.
So, Paul, this is Sherry. Yeah. Hey, thank you for giving us such a good bird's eye view as to what's going on. There's two things that I'm hearing. And I think you have been dealing with extreme levels of anxiety for a very long time. And I think,
I have, yeah.
Yeah, and I think how you bind some of that anxiety, how you kind of numb some of that anxiety, is by collecting people, places, things that end up causing your heart to feel more comforted in what's normal. Like, kind of, you know, you're probably a guy that uses the same toothpaste all the time, and you like a certain smell on your clothes when you wash them, and you've got a brain that wants things to stay as is. You don't, your brain really doesn't like change. And all that,
right,
that way that you're put together, it's actually causing your wife to feel like, and this is going to be hard to hear, but I think she's feeling like an it, like a thing, instead of a person. When you say you're sorry, you know what I call those? And I'm saying this to myself and everybody else. I call those... I call them cheap sorries, because they really don't hear the heart of another person. They're more about getting rid of anxiety. So I'm going to say sorry really quick, but it's a cheap sorry. And if I was to take one word out of your vocabulary, you know what word I'd remove? And I'd say, this is going to be hard, but I want you to practice.
Sorry.
You know what I'd take out? The word...
Sorry.
No. But.
But, okay.
You use the word but a lot. And whenever you say the word but, you just erase what you said in front of it. Yes, it's another excuse. And so your precious wife, who said yes to you, and she said yes to you seeing all the stuff, right? And she knows that you kind of live in the spirit of scarcity. There's a lot of fear about things. But she had this idea, might have been a fantasy, but it was this idea that she was going to come in and somehow easily make your place your home together. And it has been work for her, because it feels like pulling teeth for her to get rid of every piece of furniture, because you want to... Your brain wants to value it. It wants to say, but I need to, it still has a lot of use in it. These clothes still have an, but, so it's been so much work because you're attached to things instead of her. Does any of that make sense?
Right. Yeah, and we've talked about that, and yeah, I totally agree, and but it's hard. And
Hold on. Hey, you know what you just did, Paul? And I want to help you with this. You just said but.
Yeah.
She said it's really hard, but. Yeah. Okay, so don't use but in our conversation and talk to Jill here.
Use and.
And.
Instead of but.
It's really hard.
And. Right? And finish the sentence that way. Paul, it takes a long while to blend a family. And most people marry with unrealistic expectations. So probably your wife, like you're saying, Sherry, did have unrealistic expectations as to what she could do. And thinking...
Well, she's almost 10 years younger than me, so that's, you know...
Okay.
I'm more stuck in my ways than she is.
Right, right. And thinking that if she just removed the things... it would all be good. But what Sherry is talking about is that's not what is going to change things. Certainly, lightening the load, ultimately you will feel better. However, there is still the issue with the anxiety. And allowing people to be there for you and to soothe you instead of all of the things. Right?
Great
so letting
point.
Letting your wife in more, sharing with her, okay, I want to be willing, but I'm scared. I'm scared. I have all of these memories attached to all of these things. This is what I've had around me. And the thought of letting them go terrifies me. Let her be there with you in that.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of the stuff is that I have memories about it, and a lot of it, they might have been bad memories if it was from anything that I had from my first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But
So why hold on to it? Why hold on to it? And this is where I think I honestly think
it's just kind of like, so why sell something that's or throw it out or give it away
okay.
or whatever?
But you know what?
That ultimately probably need for your next place.
Okay, but you know what, my friend, your brain is on the OCD spectrum. Has anybody ever told you that? Has anybody ever told you that? Okay, your brain has got some OCD traits.
Which just makes sense because the unresolved fear and anxiety leads to an obsession like, how do I comfort this? How do I treat this fear? How do I deal with this? And obsession results in compulsion. Mm-hmm. I'll buy, keep, save, store. And it just feeds itself until you deal with the unresolved emotion that leads to the obsession, and an obsession has to be relieved with some kind of compulsive behavior, like hoarding, which could be called by you collecting, or shoring up for the future, the new place,
and that,
one day.
That way, the hope is that you can ward off all loss, right? If you obsessively keep on top of everything. I mean, look at what we've experienced in the last year and a half to 2 years. People are scared. There's so much loss. They're going to the stores and they're hoarding at different times when they fear loss. It's what we naturally do. And you've had a lot of loss as well.
And you love your wife. Yep. That's clear. And we would, all three of us would hate for 6 months or a year down the road, for her to get so frustrated and feel so trapped in kind of this mausoleum of stuff that she might unplug from you. She might feel like she doesn't matter. She might lose heart. And if I was to talk to you a year from now, I'd say, Paul, was all that stuff really worth it? Was it worth
it? No, and I'll say that right now, it isn't.
Okay, so then your path is doing some work, maybe even doing some therapy around this anxiety. It's not your heart, my friend, it's your brain that's getting in the way here. But she married your heart and your brain at the same time, but it's getting to a point where you can tell her, you, my dear, are way more important than anything that I own, and I am sorry that I have had that backwards. I know it's created hardship for you, and I bet you it's made you scared. But I need to really face myself and why I hold on to things that really don't matter to me in order, and I need to get rid of that stuff. I need to deal with that issue of mine so that I can show you over and over again that you are my priority.
So here's what I would do. I would, today, whenever you're with her, I would say, I talked to some people, and I was looking for the three things I could do, simple things, to let you know I love you, care about you. And they got right into my stuff and said, well, you got to go dig deeper. You got to resolve stuff inside, and it's hard work and all this, and I just want you to know that was not what I was wanting to hear. But that's what I'm going to do. Because I love you. I don't expect you to be excited about that, but I am expecting that when I comply with what they're saying, you're going to see a different person emerge over time. So I'm going to read some things, and I'm going to go see a counselor. I'm going to get around some other men in a Bible study, and I just hope you'll hang in there because I want to be a different man. Now, I tell you, if you do that, she's probably going to respond, and you're going to be on a path where you are feeling different in everything that you do. That's what we want for you. I'll send you The Soul of a Hero. It's got 10 characteristics of a real hero, a real man, and what he does. And a big one there is humility and willingness there. When I humble myself and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. All right, you're listening to New Life Live. If you can help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the phone number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or if you need help, same number. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with our next segment where I hope and pray something we say to somebody else just might ring true in your life or the life of somebody that you care about. Gift of any amount. We send you part of the new series, Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes Pot. We also have Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Has ADHD. Both of those books, really, really transformational in the way you parent kids with those issues. All right, we'll take a break. Come right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And in the studio is Larry Sonnenberg. He's been with New Life over 18
going on
years.
18.
And he's still
he's still
helping
here.
People.
Yeah.
Helping people that are hurting, helping people that are facing life's hardest issues. Larry, what do you have for us today? And thank you for all you've done over 18 years. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a blessing to be here.
I know it has. It really has. I know you've been blessed by every moment of it.
Yes. Even now.
Okay.
You got him going again, Steve.
I love that.
Crack him
the
up.
The wheeze laugh. We all wait for that.
Yeah.
No,
we have the marriage, intimacy and marriage workshop coming up.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Just no laughing matter.
No laughing matter at all.
True. But a lot of laughter comes after it.
Yes, it does.
No, seriously, Sunday morning after the intensive, when the couples are sharing, the whole room feels different.
It does.
People come in and it feels kind of like, heavy. But then by Sunday morning, which I say is Easter morning, there's just so much change. And the testimonies of what happened over those 3 days, it's incredible.
Well, this lady had the same experience. She says, "Hi, Stephen, New Life. We're grateful for your ministry. I found you on radio many years ago and loved what I heard. I talked my hubby into going to your intimacy and marriage workshop, which was so helpful. Our group time was invaluable." I'm sorry.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say. I was just.
Our group time was
so valuable. But what I learned from the group and what I learned from the counselor, I still use today. Our marriage is thriving, and we're so grateful. Christ is the center of our lives and marriage, and we're happy to support New Life financially in order to help others.
Awesome.
Folks, that's what it's about. If you make a gift, you're helping others. And the way others are helped is just incredible. The different stories, the different ways they get in touch with New Life, the different people that touch them, whether it's in their group, a radio program, a counselor. There's so many ways, but it starts with you making support to New Life. And I feel like I'm giving two messages. I want people to go to the workshop, and I want people to give to support us. So those are the two things.
Well, it is really taking, when you support us, it's taking the horrible thing and transforming it into something great. It's what Satan meant for evil. Now you're turning it into something good because you're helping somebody else. And that's wonderful. And that's what we're all about, transformation. Help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or if we can help you, it is the same number. And we'll send you Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes Pot, or an adult book like Dave Stoops' last book, which is Living Strong, Finishing Well, or Living Well, Finishing Strong. We wanted it to be Don't Die Before You're Dead. That was the choice title.
I still vote for that one.
And then also the one he and I did together, you could ask for that, The Soul of a Hero. Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate that.
All right, let's go to Molly. Let's see how she's doing today. And on line six there, hey, Molly, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a little nervous being on the radio.
Oh, that's okay. Well, we're nervous all the time. So. Yeah. How's it going? What can we help you with?
I recently shared with somebody at church that the church I'm attending that I'm really excited about a new counselor that I have who is going to be working with me through some complex trauma and anxiety and my smoking addiction. Yeah, it's bad. With EMDR. And try to explain to her how EMDR works. And she really kind of made me even more anxious, because her response was, she said it sounded kind of more like new age approach, and that all I really needed to do to heal was to just get in the Bible every day and read the Word, and that the Holy Spirit would heal me.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I just wanted to kind of, if you can help me articulate a good response to that, because while I do believe that reading the Bible and, you know, praying and asking the Holy Spirit to help me with this, I'm not sure that that's all that I need.
Yeah. Well, I am really sad for her, because there is nothing new age about anything that we do. You know, it does not say in Scripture to chew your food slowly. But that's a really good idea if you want to be healthier. There's no new age about chewing food slowly, but we know how all that works physiologically with the organs involved, and it does help. Well, the brain is not your soul. The brain is an organ. Kidney, liver, brain, it's an organ. And things go into the brain, and they, if they're traumatic, they don't just live there as a dead memory that, oh yeah, that happened. No, it has an impact on the brain. And there's a way that we've discovered that's good for that organ to not be damaging you. And also some things that can be done, the way it's wired up or the way it's been created, there's some things we can do. They're wonderful, based on a lot of research, a lot of people getting results that free you from certain things. We believe in praying. We believe in being healed, miraculously healed. We believe in waiting on the Lord, but we also don't believe in waiting for God to do what God is waiting for you to do. And I'm glad that you found the resource, and I'm going to let one of the specialists in that area explain this in great detail, because that's what you deserve. You deserve to know what you're doing is healthy and good for you.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, you know, Sherry has followed God's path, and we've watched her follow God's path. We believe in what she does. And when we were just talking about when she first brought up EMDR, we weren't up to speed. Didn't really know about it. And so then we looked into it based on our belief in her. And sure enough, well, it's just because you haven't heard about it or understand it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. So, Sherry, why don't you explain to her how it works, why it works, why it's not some new age thing.
Yeah, totally appreciate that. And, Steve, thank you to you and New Life for being open to talking about some things that you may not hear about in the church, right? I mean, it's a lot of times I think believers or churches are afraid of looking at how God might use science and to change our thinking. And it's not just science. So let me say this. I love your question, Molly. God was involved with science and our brain way long ago, because the Apostle Paul was the first mind coach. In Philippians 4:8, right, the Apostle Paul said, think on these things that are pure, that are of good report, that are right. There's a whole laundry list of things. But what happens with someone like you, Molly, and someone like me who has complex trauma is what Steve said. Our brain wires in this story. And with that story is a negative belief that's laid down. And it's laid down some tracks, and it's like they're weeds. They go down very, very deep. And no, for some of us, no matter how much we believe in Scripture, I mean, there's a lot of spiritual shame. I have people come to me that have memorized verses, and they're like, Sherry, why can't I believe the truth that I'm loved by God? Or why can't I believe the truth that I'm safe? And I say, well, let's look at your history. Let's talk about that, because maybe there's a belief, a memory that's gotten lodged in there that the Lord, through EMDR, will want to unplug. And basically, EMDR is about identifying what that negative belief is, that shame belief about ourselves. And I have like 35 of them that it's not mine. These are all just the negative beliefs, which they're all lies of the enemy anyway. And then the opposite side of the page are, what are those truths? And if we can't get there through cognitive behavioral therapy alone, through spiritual intervention and reading the words, some of us need to go to do something called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which is a type of treatment that goes in and it touches that memory. You can't relive it because you've already been through it one time, but it just touches it. It actually helps you to feel some feelings around that, and you identify the negative belief. And then through the process of EMDR, you move from that negative belief to the truth, which is where you want to be anyway. But once people get to the truth through EMDR, they hold on to it. Their brain holds on to it like a junkyard dog. They don't struggle with it like they have in the past.
It takes the emotional charge, right?
It does.
Out of that belief.
Yep.
And neutralizes it.
Neutralizes it. And that's where healing comes. That's where true healing comes, is when we don't have to go back to that memory over and over again, because our mind and brain can move past it.
So what do you think of that? Does that help you at all, or do we need to give you something in addition to those kinds of things?
No, that's very helpful. Very helpful. Because we're not just spirit, we're mind, body,
right,
and soul.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about the EMDR, you know, going forward with that. I just didn't know how to articulate it. So
yeah.
I'll listen to this again and write it down and,
perfect,
and try to
good.
It
well,
better.
And Molly, but, if you had any other kind of disorder, if you had a thyroid disease, or you had cancer, or even things more mild, most Christians would be okay with you going to a doctor, right, and getting a form of treatment to treat that disorder. And so this is very similar. It's a form of treatment to treat what you're struggling with.
And we do believe in prayer.
Yes.
We believe in confession.
Mm-hmm.
James 5:16, but that's not all we believe in. All right. Let's go over here, and how about we talk with, let's talk to Wanda from Atlanta, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM satellite radio. Hi, Wanda, and how are you today?
I'm actually doing well.
Good. How could we help?
I just need some direction and advice to deal with an issue that I'm having with my father.
Okay.
So just a little backstory. When I was a child, he stepped out on the marriage and committed adultery and ended up having a child, which is my half brother. He's now probably, I'd say, 30.
Okay.
And but the issue is, my mom passed away in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And for the past, I'd say probably almost 2 years now, he has been in a relationship with the woman that he committed this adultery with.
Mm. Okay.
And as of right now, he's undergoing back surgery today. and he's up in the Northeast, and I'm here in Atlanta. But I do have my sister, my other sibling, who was, you know, with the marriage. She's dealing with the same issue. How do we approach it? Because when it comes to me, because I'm so far away, he could easily just direct his life in another way, where my sister sees it and she's just accepting it and it still hurts her. But, you know, to the point where he talks to me, he can't even say this woman's name. He can't even say, you know, what he does and certain things like that. But I see it on social media through other family members.
Yeah,
where
okay. Yeah, so what? I think we get the picture. So what's the question for us?
How do, because it's a past hurt, and if this is the life that he wants to live, I just want to tell him he doesn't have to lie or keep things from me. But at the same time, I feel I don't want to accept this woman. I just can't.
Uh-huh.
But he's my father, and I still want to honor my father. I still love him. But
Did your mom know about the affair?
Oh, yes.
And did she forgive him? Did she forgive him? Did she forgive him?
Yes.
Okay. And then...
Yes.
So would it be honoring of her to also forgive him?
My mother or me?
Would it be honoring of her for you to forgive him? Honor your mother to forgive him,
yes,
since she forgave him, versus she forgave him and you hold it against him the rest of his life. That's the question.
Yes, it would.
Jill,
so
what do you think?
I'm wondering, though, before... And I think this is the end goal, Steve. But before moving into forgiveness, I think there has to be some conversations with your dad.
There you go. Yep.
Whether it be, I mean, face-to-face would be ideal, but sometimes we can't do that. So sometimes we write a letter. But to ask him, would he be willing to hear your hurt? Telling him that you, one, are aware of what's going on, right? You want to get past this and be at a place where at least the two of you agree to disagree about some things, but can continue in relationship. And in order to do that, would he be willing to hear your feelings about this?
I think that's what it comes down to.
Yes. And maybe
that's what it is. Feeling.
It is, and he's never heard your feelings about it, what right. It was like for you. And I might start with actually, you know, writing it out. First, just, you know, don't worry about English or punctuation. Just let loose on paper. And that's just your first draft. Just let loose on paper and let all those feelings out. And then you find a safe person that you can share that with. And then before you would give that to your dad or read it to him, you would refine it a bit and put it in a form that feels like you could share.
And that's exactly what I was thinking in the path I was going on. I just needed more direction.
Yeah.
And I've been praying about it, and I thank you guys because it is confirmed that's what I need to do.
Your dad needs you and loves you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been uncomfortable about it, I don't think. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn here, and, you know... There's so many things in the world that are just natural. Like, you naturally wouldn't want to betray mom and have a relationship. But do you have to look at, well, maybe we're called not to do the natural thing. The mom worked through her betrayal. But as you guys were saying at the break, this daughter, I mean, she was betrayed too. Mm-hmm. So she has to work through that. Really
right.
sad.
Right. She has to find her own path, just like mom did.
And, you know, and this sounds like it's way out there, but it's really not way out there. I mean, if her dad, she's honest with her dad and they do some work, it may ultimately mean a conversation with the other woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To say, you hurt me.
Yeah, there you
your
go.
Relationship with my dad hurt my mom.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that might be great.
And that's a part of it. It's being honest with all parties because mm-hmm. there's unresolved pain there.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Nancy. How you doing? What's going on in your life today? You're our final caller, but I did want to get to your call before we finished up. Hi.
Hi, I so appreciate you taking my call.
How can we help?
I've been divorced, happily remarried. I have three adult children. All three have been affected by the divorce, but my two younger have worked through their problems. My middle is an alcoholic, but she's getting help. My oldest is the one that's given me the most problems. She's 31. She's got all the bad faults of her father. She's very manipulative. She's a con artist. She uses and abuses. That's the mm-hmm. best way I could put it. She ruined our Christmas last Christmas because she didn't get her way. She tried to ruin this upcoming Thanksgiving the same way for not getting her way. I just need advice on, I mean, I pray for her daily that the Lord transforms her heart. I don't know at this point if she really is truly a Christian. I've raised all three of my kids the same way, but she is, I don't know, is there a biological way that she could get this from her dad?
Was
she like 13 when you divorced?
No.
How young was she?
No, she was 18.
18.
She was 18.
Okay, 18, mm-hmm. 18 and 13 make sense to me because those are transitional ages from, you know, 13 is when you first become a teenager. 18 is when you become an adult.
Right.
This is my greatest fear for you. I believe you're projecting onto your daughter the worst traits of your husband because you can't understand her behavior, which is hurting herself and hurting you all. But I don't know that anybody's really listened to what it was like for her at 18 when she was on the very precipice. She's probably a senior in high school. She was getting ready to launch. Yeah, mm-hmm. and her whole world fell apart. Everything became about the divorce.
But what's funny is, she was the one that would tell me to leave her dad because he had an affair on me. She kept saying, leave dad, and I kept saying, no, I love him. I'm going to give him a chance.
Okay, no, you know what she has? She's got guilt over being the mouthpiece that actually told you what to do because you weren't seeing it. You weren't taking the steps, and she was desperate to come to you and say, Mom, you need to leave him. He's had an affair. But then when everything happened, what she didn't know at 18 is her whole world would turn upside down.
Right.
And y'all have to go back to that and really hear her heart. Because she went right into adulthood feeling responsible for your divorce, even though she's not responsible for the affair, just like our prior caller. She's a daughter who has betrayal trauma. But the more you project your ex-husband's bad juju on her, it's like you're giving her a life sentence right now, and she's a wounded daughter.
But I just can't understand why she keeps hurting her family. I mean, it's just
she's acting out her yes, she's acting out her pain, Nancy. I mean, probably she is the most like her dad out of your three children.
Yeah.
Okay. So naturally she's the most like him. Perhaps, right, she got what she didn't realize she was going to get in pushing this, right? And one way to deal with loss is to identify with a person, right? Even if it's negative behavior, it's a way of holding on to them and staying connected to them, all the while acting out because of her upset and hurt over this that has never been fully expressed. It comes out in all the wrong ways.
Mm. Wow.
Does that make sense?
Like that.
Yeah, like some kids, it's easy to, you know, comfort kids that are hurt and crying and they're sad, and those seem more appropriate responses. It never feels good to, like, want to lean into the kid that's acting out all over the place and attacking and seeing things differently.
Right. But you say such a good point, Jill, because underneath anger is usually one of three things or all three things. It's hurt. Mm-hmm. It's fear, it's sadness, it's those more vulnerable emotions.
Right.
And I bet she's not been heard in that place, your daughter. So it's not the fact that she's not a Christian. She may not be behaving in a way that is godly right now, but our hurts, our wounds drive our behaviors. And she won't heal until you hear her and really listen. Without defending, without projecting, without seeing her with three heads, she's got to hear how, like, I would say this, honey, I really think I missed you. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how much courage it took you when you were 18 to come to me. You risked everything to come to me and tell me that your dad was having an affair. You were scared. But I really think I missed you because I didn't hear what it was like for you. I've never asked you what that was like for you.
And, you know, the other thing is so often a man will be a certain way and the kids will be angry at mom, act out because inside they don't say it out loud, but mom, why couldn't you fix him? Mom, why didn't you save him? Why didn't you protect us?
So
you know, those
Steve.
Kinds of things are
so
all
true.
Unresolved there. And when a mom says to a child like that, you know, I really understand, or I think I understand what it must be like to watch your dad be like this and wonder why can't mom fix it? I mean, that's probably the way I would be. I'd be angry, but I just want you to know I love you and I'm not going to stop no matter what. I'm here for you. You go through this, I'm going through it with you. I'm not going to stand on the sideline and wait till you stop being angry. And you know what? This Thanksgiving, you do what you need to do. We'll make it work. We'll make it work. You want to go somewhere else, then you have to go somewhere else. You want to stomp off angry? I get it. You're going through a tough time, and you're just going to get understanding and love from me.
Mm. That is so good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I want you to hold on. Send you healing as a choice. I hope that's going to be helpful to you. We've got a lot of resources at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. A lot of healing needs to be done in so many lives. And sometimes it takes just the opposite approach to open a door, crack in the wall, jump over a hurdle. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.